How the hell are you?
Good morning, Boston. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Good morning, indeed.
It's nice to be back.
Yeah.
Doing our thing. It's been too long.
Mm-hmm. To our listeners, anyway, welcome back. And this isn't our first attempt to come back. It's actually like our fourth, if you count all the episodes that we didn't release.
Yeah, we did a couple during the summer over Zoom. One in a forest as well. And we looked back at them at the end of the summer. And we were
disgusted.
Like, Jesus Christ, man. Who are we?
No, yeah, that was the one we couldn't even watch, right?
Yeah.
Or you especially could not, like, sit through even a minute of that.
No, man. It was a funny summer.
But actually, so much has changed, right?
A couple
of months since we've been, I don't know, since we've just sat down. But it feels important somehow that we haven't, or that we are now.
Of course it does, man. The Blueberry 10 podcast is back.
Now, fuck yeah.
You'd better close your eyes, my child, for a moment in order to be better in tune with the infinite.
It's frustrating when you just can't express yourself. And it's hard to trust enough to undress yourself. Stand exposed and naked in a world full of hatred. Where the sick thoughts of mankind control all the sacred. I pause.
But yeah, welcome back to you as well. That's why I said that last time as well.
Thank you, mate.
I reviewed some of the footage, and it actually looks sick, dude, of us sitting here, but at night, in the rain. It actually kind of looks like the beginning of some kind of grime music video. It looks like we're about to start spitting or
That's
something.
That's when you know we're onto something good.
Yeah, exactly.
When we look like a music video.
Yeah, true.
We could be playing in any Hazret or any Doner kebab shop in the city.
For sure.
That's the dream.
Yeah, actually, that reminds me, because we've been going to the comedy nights, right? And I know this week there's been some trouble. Jean-Maxime, the organizer, he's been having some trouble finding a location.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard about this, but Lust, where it usually happens, is like they've already got the first Thursdays of December planned out with something else. So we're not going to be able to do it there. And, like, me and Max have just been, just texting him with, like, ideas for locations.
What about the pool hall queue action?
Oh, I don't think we thought about that. Yeah, if there's like, a stage kind of area, could be cool. But we were thinking maybe, you know, Smoke on the corner of Grote Markt?
Yeah, the full meat restaurant.
yeah, there's been comedy there before. And there's another bar on Souder Deep.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Okay, nice.
Yeah,
are you gonna go up?
If there's a show, I would love to go up. Yeah.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, I gotta get that practice in.
You're getting better every time, man.
Yeah,
you were so much more comfortable last time.
I was more comfortable on stage.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was nice to see. But did you see the Irish guy who went on at the end?
Dude, I wanted to talk about him.
Okay,
No, what were you gonna say?
Well, I mean, his set in the beginning seemed very improvised.
Yeah.
And he was just kind of talking to us like we're a bunch of students, you know.
He was reflecting on the night.
Yeah. He was probably in his 30s, had a big beard. His pregnant wife was in the back of the room.
Yeah. I thought that was a joke when he said.
Me too. And then I saw them outside later and went, oh.
Yeah. Okay. I guess she was there.
He had some really funny material. He was very comfortable. I think he was very drunk as well, though.
Yeah, true, he was. I forget that now, but he was goofing around during other people's sets and stuff. But like in a nice way, like he was kind of bringing that energy that I sometimes miss a bit behind the scenes, at least, of like comedians like joking around with each other, trying to, you know, I don't know, just the stuff you hear about. Because yeah, usually all the comedians are just sitting there, like, looking at their notes, tense. And there's no sense of, like, fun to it.
That's true. And what was it that made you want to start actually doing stand-up comedy?
It's funny you say that, because I was just thinking, well, like, originally, I don't know, like, watching Jim Carrey movies or something. Like, being, you know, into comedy. Whatever.
Making people laugh, having a good time.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. That's weird, actually, because, I don't know, just being funny is, like, one thing, and then when you're older, you just find out about stand-up comedy, and you're like, these guys are doing it professionally. But it's not like my heroes were ever stand-up comedians or anything. I just always like the idea of it, and now, yeah, I don't know, I'm probably overthinking it, but like, I like going, I like being an open micer, you know, right? Yeah. Now, like, this, it fits being 23, being an open micer,
yeah,
being terrible. I was already thinking how I'm gonna look if I keep going, how I'll look back at this material right now. It's trash.
It's not trash.
It's okay for now, but like, if I have an actual like hour or something, eventually I'll be like, ugh, remember when I kept trying to do that Wizz Air bit or something, like one of the like the early days. But I was thinking about what really pushed me to start, which was going to comedy shows, going to open mics,
yeah,
in pretty much all in this year, going in London to two shows, to two open mics, and then to one at Smoke here in Groningen, and then also going to Lust, the open mic like that we go to now.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there was just something, it was like right before the summer, it was quite hot. No, it was during the summer already. And I even told this story at the time on the podcast, that this guy BT just came in out of nowhere, and the host was like, hey, you want to do 5 minutes, man, if you're a comedian? And he just went up on stage and killed the whole room and shamed all the local comedians just from his first line. And he grabbed me at the time because he did some crowd work, right? He made fun of me. And then after the show, he grabbed me because I went up to him and he was like, follow your dreams.
Wow.
Which he thought my dream was to be a rapper, because that's what I had said during his show. And that's what he was making fun of. He was like, you follow your dreams, become a rapper. And I was kind of scared to tell him in that moment because he was so hyped up. But I was like, actually, I think I want to try comedy.
Oh, man.
I felt like I was talking to my dad or something. And he was like, yeah, that too, man. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And I actually messaged him on Saturday on Instagram. And I was like, hey, man, any tips for like a five-time open micer? And his tips, I mean, I can pull it up. His tips were like, it was great because he wrote it in all caps. Wait 1 second. Yeah, he was like, haha, easy, all caps, write perform as much as possible at all kind of venues. Mm. And don't forget to have fun, write all the time, perform as much as possible, record your sets, listen back, and that'll help you have fun, miss that damn place, referring to the Groningen open mic. Hope you're well.
Wow, man, that's amazing. And you know what I just realized? His name was BT. That's a blueberry
tent. So it all comes together.
I love it.
Yeah, Mr. BT.
Amazing.
But he was the, I don't know if he was like the ultimate catalyst, but I don't know. Yeah, after that show, and he was definitely the highlight of that show, I like messaged Jean-Maxime, which is so weird. Like back at the day, you know, all these stories, you'd go up to Mitzi, ask her to put you in the lineup and all that. And for me, it's like, no, I sent a friendly DM on Instagram to the organization,
yeah,
before I even knew who Jean-Maxime was. A hero, local hero to us now, obviously.
Yes, indeed.
A legend. And yeah, and then I had to wait all summer to go up, to actually go. And then I've gone, yeah, like five, handful of times now.
Yeah, I think I've been to 4 out of your 5 sets.
Yeah, yeah.
And
no, you only missed 1 week, right? And yeah, I didn't go up that week.
Okay, then I've been to all 5.
I think you've been to all of them.
Yeah, man. They've definitely grown. And I think your presence is the main thing, honestly. When you go up and you're also laughing at your own jokes, then the whole crowd starts laughing as well. And even when you mess up, or any comedian messes up,
mm-hmm,
Lust is such a nice place. It's so welcoming, yeah, and it's,
mm-hmm,
we let anything go.
It's very fine. Chill.
Except for like the kind of not pushy comedy, but like the kind of the edgy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
A very, very tame club, you know? As soon as anything comes up about race or...
Dude.
Any of the touchy subjects that comedy is so good for, just to like, mm-hmm, have a place to talk openly about things and say the wrong things.
100%.
In a way that's not serious. It doesn't allow for that.
Mm-mm.
But it's okay.
But it's because it's not a club, right? It's a vegan restaurant. And it's not a comedy audience. It's students. Like, is there a more like liberal crowd, like, or not, it's not just about politics, but a more kind of sensitive crowd than international students in a vegan restaurant. Dude, why hasn't anyone written like a bit about that yet?
There we go, man. Yeah. We got something.
No, but I actually wanted to talk to you about the during my last set, right? Mm. And Menace, shout out to Menace. He got the video, but he's traveling to Germany right now. So I haven't seen the video back yet, but I kind of like that because I just have the memory from the night. Sorry. But I wanted to ask you what it was like, man, because you were there helping me write my jokes beforehand. Yeah. I mean, we've written together more. And then we went to the show together. Yeah. And then I went up and then I started forgetting my material and I locked eyes with you so many times.
It was so nice though. I was just there to be a comforting presence.
You come for me, dude. You were something to like latch onto in the audience, but I also felt like I was letting you down.
Not at all.
Like when I looked at your eyes, I was like, I'm disappointing you right now.
I was smiling from ear to ear. I was just so happy to see you doing everything I had heard like 30 minutes earlier outside of Minerva.
Doing some of it.
Yeah.
And forgetting most.
It was great. And you switched up some lines. There was the joke about watching Minecraft videos and being like, oh, you know, it's architecture, it's building, you know, it's engineering. And then an ad pops up and there was an ad and you were like, the all new Lego Star Wars. And you're like, yeah, this is kids content.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, but even in that, dude, I noticed it's so easy to get comfortable because I knew from the first time I did that joke, like, oh, kids content, that's going to be a big laugh. And this time it wasn't as big of a laugh. Like, it's always, you know what I mean? You can't just get lazy and be like, oh, just me saying I'm watching kids content will work.
It's probably going to be more broad because, like, the audience is from probably 18 to 30. Mm-hmm. And the people who are older, content doesn't really maybe resonate for them. So it's like, ah, this is kids material. This is kids stuff. Or this is
right, yeah.
This is a kids video or something, you know?
It like, could be that. Or just restating the obvious, like, this is a Minecraft video. Or then doing the voice. Hello, guys. Today we're going to build a silly castle. I don't remember if I ended up saying that or not.
I don't think so. That was a good line. A good line.
But yeah, because we didn't really have time to talk after the... Dude, actually, what if we just trace back? Because that's where we last saw each other, right?
Yeah.
Although I do have more I want to say about that night.
Sure.
But since that's where we last saw each other, maybe we can retrace our steps. Like, I went to work. Where did you go, you know?
I started walking down the street, seeing you cycle away into the distance. Yeah. I checked my pockets for my AirPods, and they weren't there.
Oh, dude, you and those AirPods, man.
I know.
They just want to get away from you.
But I'm always so chill about it. I'm always like, oh, okay, well, I guess they're gone now. And then I might as well just have to walk and listen. And I thought, what if they're in my bag? So right. I checked every pocket, and then the last pocket I checked, finally I found my AirPods.
Amazing.
So stuck them in, had a walk.
What are you putting on? You're walking through the city, what's the first song?
I have a couple of playlists now on Spotify. One is called Mew Beginnings with an M.
Okay.
Because I just misspelled it, but I was like, it's meant to be.
It's a vibe.
There's a Middle Ground, Sign Language, and another one called Soul. And they each
Soul?
Yeah, S-O-L. Not okay. S-A-U-L.
Oh, like Sun.
Not like the name, but like Sun.
Right.
And they each have their own like picture, did like cover or whatever that I made.
Like representing the mood.
Yeah, and it's really music from when I came back this summer, since September to now.
Okay, nothing, not from before that.
Except for Saul. Saul is like my 2021 most played songs. I just put them all into
one. That's the legacy playlist.
Yeah, that's where I feel like...
That's where you come to find yourself during a bad trip. Well, it's remind
more,
who you are.
It's more of a reminder of like where I am now. Because I listen to these songs and think back to what life was like a year ago. And think how everything has changed.
Yeah.
Which is a really nice reminder every time.
Mm. You don't get stuck like in the past when you listen to...
Sometimes. But then, I mean... No, I'm usually thinking, damn, this song sounds so different now. Yeah. That I'm a year older and... things are changing.
Mm-hmm.
But walking down the street, I saw a bunch of students, like many groups, all dressed up in different costumes. I don't know what was on that night.
Dude, I think it was a Vindy cult thing. Right. I saw them as well.
Yeah, a lot of people chanting, a lot of so a lot of shenanigans. And I felt so like so sensitive and so like I'm going home now to make some tea and some nice food and go to sleep.
Does that stuff make you feel bad at all? that you're not like a student out there partying like that?
No, but it usually makes me feel different or something. Or like I'm not immature enough to enjoy myself.
I mean, you are different. Like, you see 10 guys literally all dressed up as in the same like prisoner costume. Like, you're literally different.
Yeah, but sometimes I think of it in a bad way. And it's not good, man. I mean, like, I don't know, a big part of me getting to know myself has been accepting the fact that, like, I am sensitive and, like, innocent at heart. And especially with Instagram reels and things and TikToks where you just see a ton of content and it's usually, like, desensitizing things. Or when they bring up relationship things, it's like everybody's cheating on everybody or a lot of this manosphere stuff of, like,
distrust.
You know, get your money, come on, masculine. I'm like, none of this feels like me. And the internet is so packed with it that, again, I keep having to confront the fact that I'm just me.
Yeah, you keep having to, like, reaffirm
that, like, I'm not doing something wrong.
Yeah.
And it's true. I love myself, man. I'm doing a good job. I need to keep telling myself this.
Good-ass job.
I think I just went home. Maybe I made some music. I've been watching a lot of... I think the day after or the 2 days after we last saw each other, I started watching a lot of content of food challenges.
Challenges?
Yeah, like this guy who goes to restaurants and he... I don't know, in America they have a lot of these like burger challenges or like a 1 meter hot dog or I don't know, these absurd amounts of food.
Yeah.
And I just, for a whole day, watched this guy's videos and felt very strange and then got super hungry and started eating a lot myself.
Yeah, yeah.
And then fell asleep like stuffed and woke up the next day and felt so terrible.
What did you eat?
A lot of rice crackers.
Oh, not you didn't. It's not like you ordered burgers and stuff when you're watching the burger challenge.
I can't give my food to Dow's Resort or Just Eat anymore.
Okay, yeah.
That like 10 euro delivery is always usually a disappointment if it's not, you know, shared with friends. Or something.
Although next time you might do it. I can recommend from Cairo.
I don't trust that place, man. I think they got rats.
Oh, really?
I know that street is full of rats. The restaurant I was working at, we had a bit of a mouse problem for a while.
Can you say the name of the restaurant so we can censor it later and sound like kind of cool, you know? Like,
of course, man. The name of the restaurant was...
Dude, you just kind of dropped that. Yo, we'll have to censor that.
Yo, dude, that's crazy, man. I hope they don't eat...
No one really cared, right?
Yeah, I was working there for like 2 months and
no one wanted to like get rid of the mice.
Everyone just accepted it as like a part of the job.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, when customers come in here, they expect like that the food is clean.
That at least
the chefs are well trained, you know? Like when you sit down for a meal and you see the menu, you really don't think about all the things that could go wrong before that food comes to you.
No, definitely not.
And I see it happen all the time, man. Just people like making burgers and then some sauce gets on their finger.
And they're like, oh well.
Give it a little lick and then continue with the burger. And I'm like, man, there's saliva all over that thing. But all this to say that, there were mice in the kitchen. I did not feel comfortable with it. And one day the owner of the restaurant was in the restaurant. And I was like, okay, if you're going to work here, you got to say it, man, you know. If you're going to be thinking this stuff, you better say it. So I was like, hey, we started talking a bit. And I was like, you know, I'm finding it kind of hard to work with, like, because there's mice in the kitchen stuff. He's like, oh, yeah, the mice. Oh, man, they've got rats on the next street over. So,
and I was like, classic.
Huh. Okay. I just didn't take it any further after that. I was like, look.
They're like, huh, at least we don't have roaches. Exactly. Get back to work. Was it Max?
No, it was Max.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. Max lives here.
Max is your brother.
You know, he doesn't always leave the kitchen as clean as he could, but I love him.
I was a clean kitchen this morning when I came in, but I'm getting sidetracked.
Yeah.
I didn't order any food that night.
You just ate rice crackers.
I just ate my fucking rice crackers. Also the waffles you get from Albert Heijn. So good, man.
So good.
I buy like a 10 pack of those every now and then.
I wonder what they're even made of.
Lots of sugar.
They like don't go bad. They're just like, you know, sugar maybe.
After I woke up the next morning feeling terrible after all of this sensory stimulation and all this food, I did the miracle morning or the artist's way, like 3 pages of writing, just to kind of clear my system of everything. And I felt amazing after that. took a shower, did put out my yoga mat, did some stretching.
Did you? How were your bowel movements that after all that?
It's a very personal question, man.
You wouldn't share that?
That's very personal.
I'm just curious because you're talking about clearing
you're
things out.
You're talking about my bowels.
Yeah, I'm asking politely.
And I'm going to decline now. they weren't great, okay?
No? But they came, at least.
Man, I took a shit in the morning. It
okay,
felt
good.
Great.
Okay,
and
good.
Then I took my shower.
Okay, yeah. That's what I wanted to hear. That's what's up, man.
Hey, yeah. I did my stretches. But within an hour of waking up, I felt so much better. And the whole experience for me was kind of like, the way I feel is just based on my own actions. It's really up to
me. Yeah. Like you ate those rice crackers tonight.
And the whole reason I was watching the content and eating was because I was like feeling kind of low, feeling kind of shit, and just trying to kind of numb myself.
True.
But also watching a lot of Shark Tank.
Oh, yeah,
USA.
Yeah.
My God.
Dude, don't tell me you were watching it in a YouTube window that wasn't even full screen.
Oh, all the time.
Dude, you always do that shit.
Yeah.
Dude, here are things you do on computers that annoy me, right? You don't put the YouTube video on full screen. That's a big one.
I'm just browsing through, man. I'm going to go to the next one anyway.
You're just browsing through, but then you're like watching like 40 minutes. Of
no,
like
it's maximum 10 minutes. Max.
Okay. Either way, I don't like the non-full screen thing. And you change the volume. Like, I'll click on a YouTube video on your laptop, right? And I'll be like, what's with the volume? Your laptop is at max. And you've got the YouTube volume at like 2%. Dude, I never touch that YouTube volume unless I'm muting a video.
Yeah.
I never, like, why would you want an embedded in your browser, in the video, volume adjustment when you can just adjust the computer sound?
No, true. This is something Zach also talked to me about, my brother.
Yeah,
he was like, just leave it on full and change the computer volume.
You're the only one I know who does this, by the way, who even touches the YouTube sound.
Well, I don't know how many YouTube... I don't know, man. I got nothing to say about that. It's just the way it is.
It's just a bad habit.
Yeah, I really got to cut that shit out.
I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to put you down.
No, it's okay. I feel terrible. But, yeah, that was a good turning point in my week anyway. I really realized, okay, what I'm eating, what I'm thinking, what I'm doing.
So that really was the weekend, affects. Right?
Yes.
This was like Saturday or something?
Yeah,
Friday.
I think that was, that was Saturday.
Okay.
And I had this book that I rented from the library at school.
Okay.
Called Flow. And it's all about living life with knowing where your attention is.
Mm.
And how we kind of build up our whole idea of reality simply based on what our attention is. And if we're not
right,
actively focusing it, your biological systems and society's expectations drive your attention, like naturally.
Right. It's like you are what you eat type of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But with content.
But with content. Well, but just with everything. With everything. With what you pick up from a conversation.
Yeah.
With what you notice when you're walking down the street. I got into that book. I started taking notes, actually, so I could share it on this podcast and we'd have something to talk about.
Nice.
So we'll do that later.
Yeah.
And yeah, the rest of my week was nice. I did some schoolwork with Margarita.
Oh, yeah.
Who was there at the comedy night, actually.
Was she wearing her
Her bandana.
Wig? Oh, her bandana, I mean. I get.
And her cool fake hair. Nah. All natural.
Dude, things like that are so funny. Like, meeting her, seeing the bandana, learning that it's not her real hair under there, and then being at the comedy show a bit later, and she like gets picked on for wearing the bandana.
Yeah, there was something I heard recently, which was like, the work is the reward. And when I can get into that mindset of like, the work is, because, I mean, so much of what we do is for like a feeling at the end of it, very linear, you know what I mean? It's like you start something, process happens, and then you feel something. It's kind of like a linear model of doing things. It's like
right,
intention, action, and the reward for the action. But when working the other way, it's more of like a closed circle. Like, the work in itself is the thing you're enjoying, is the reward. And you kind of have to like shift your mindset a bit to start enjoying the non-enjoyable parts of the work. And it's possible. And it was like yesterday I read for 2 hours, and the whole time I had to keep being like, the work is the reward. And
like, after an get hour back and a half, to the like, refocus.
Yeah, exactly. And it it doesn't take long to start working, but it just right now or in the beginning feels so counterintuitive.
So where'd you get that hoodie, or like what's going on with that?
Well, let me just finish about this holistic approach to life.
Okay.
So I really think it's important.
Let's just approach this conversation holistically as well, though.
Yeah, you know, I
like, it's not just work, you know. It's in everything. Also, a little, like, you know, something for the viewers. Maybe that's interesting. Like, the distance between our chairs is just so that we don't, you know.
We
can't lean in.
Can't accidentally kiss or something.
Like, it's not, because otherwise, you know.
It happens, you know.
I can't straighten out my face. Oh, actually, that's on Thursday. I think that's what I did, is I took these chairs. Or was that last week?
Could be a week ago, I think.
Yeah, I think it was a week ago. Dude, this is why we need the podcast, so we can just differentiate between weeks.
Which episode was it? Oh, yeah, okay, true.
Yeah. Last Monday. Or
that's why we need a just
what is it today?
Routine
Tuesday.
In our lives.
Yeah, Tuesday. Dude, let's make this a regular thing.
Definitely.
Commitment. Dude, give the sultry, look. Oh.
She's gone. She had her fun with us.
Dude, I put my hood up because you had your hood up, and now you... Okay.
Put it up. I never knew how comforting it was to have a hood up.
Yeah, right?
It really does make me feel nice and safe.
Like that new... there's a lyric in the Absol song about a hoodie... Hoodie glued to my head. And every time I hear that and I do have my hoodie up, I'm like, I'm relating so hard to this right now.
You wanted to talk as well about PewDiePie.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Well, while the thing just cut out, we were talking about it, right? I just... Because you said you think of... Where's a place I can go, like, on the internet that's, like, a comfortable place? Maybe a familiar place. And then PewDiePie crosses your mind, and you're like, nah, let me not. And I share that feeling. But I did give in a couple of months ago. Or not, I didn't give in to that feeling, but I gave in to my curiosity, you know? Like, is he really still out there making videos? And I found... And he moved to Japan now, right? So I found his room tour, which are even the YouTubers that I don't watch their content, I'll watch the, like, studio tour, room tour, you know? Because it's usually... It's just pretty interesting. When you see someone from like one angle and
good serotonin from those videos,
yeah, and like you know, an insight into their lives. It's like their own empty... It's like the appeal of MTV Cribs, but they're doing their own, they're making it themselves. And he was just... I don't know, man. What I got from the video is like, man, this guy's rich. This guy is so rich. And he was like, yeah, it's pretty chill to live in Japan. You know, we don't people don't really talk to us. But, and we stand out a lot as foreigners, but, it's pretty cool. And look, I got these, speakers. They're, you know, and I looked them up. It's like 40K per, like, speaker unit and all, just, which is not, I don't know. Actually, he's still pretty, you know, he's pretty okay. He's pretty good with his money, but I don't know. Yeah. Just watching that room tour, I was like, damn. But then that's the only thing I watched. And now I don't know what he's up to.
Yeah, there's this other YouTube channel that does interior design, very minimalist. He kind of gets his viewers to send in their room, then he'll redesign it for them.
Is it an Asian gentleman?
No. Oh. But it is a lot of Japanese style minimalism and Scandinavian. There's a word for it. It's like
Ikagura.
Japandi. Scandi, oh, Scandi and Japanese. And Japanese. Wow. Yeah.
Speaking of PewDiePie,
sleek. Very true. That's a Japandi right there.
It kind of sounds like a slur. Fucking Japandi.
Yeah, because it's like, it sounds like panda a bit as well.
Yeah, it sounds like panda. Is panda like a slur?
No, but it's a song by Designer.
Dude, that's
gonna have a comeback this year. Mark my words.
Dude, that song killed his whole career.
It made it started. And killed it.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to say was, I read some articles today about design, because as well, we spoke about it in the last podcast we did.
That went online?
No.
Okay.
The one we're not going to put up.
Okay.
But how
Only on Patreon, guys. Exclusive, unreleased episodes.
Cha-ching.
Cringeworthy.
Zoinks.
Episodes.
For all the wackiness, join us behind the paywall. Yeah, I was speaking about how...
Call it a paywall, dude.
I lost touch with this kind of idea I had of design and the industry.
Oh yeah.
And what kind of job I might be able to get in the future.
No, that was
and stuff.
You should say that whole thing again.
I mean, it was especially during the summer. Mm. I was just working in the restaurant every day. And I am studying design as well. So it is my main focus. And I don't know, the way to keep up with it is just through articles and through videos and seeing what's going on in the world. There's
and
a lot
you,
of
you used to be in touch with like the industry side.
Yeah, much more, especially through like Wired magazine. Yeah. And another one called Dezeen, Dezeen.
Yeah.
A lot of interior design stuff and architecture. Really like it. But I went back on it this morning just to look for something to talk about, and I found something to talk about.
Oh shit.
Let me whip it out. So the article that caught my attention was this one about a company, which is like a concept of a company developed by this studio called Layer. So they made this concept for like a subscription psychedelic service for microdosing.
Okay,
and
yeah.
It looks beautiful. Mm-hmm. It looks amazing. And they're kind of trying to make it part of the wellness market and health
rather than... Is it located, this company?
No, it's a concept company. That's the thing.
Oh.
Created by a studio called Layer. So they just made all the product packaging and created the concept of how they would approach selling a subscription service. So it's not at all like kind of like trippiness or let's go on a trip. It's just, it's very more, much more about like calming anxiety, increasing creativity, improve your empathy. You know, this is all the things they were kind of labeling to their products. And they had three, which was, one was a loose leaf ayahuasca tea, rice wafers with LSD, microdosing, like it's very minimal, but makes its way into your system. And then,
because it's like a wafer, it's like a tab.
Yeah. And then pastilles with psilocybin.
Okay. What are pastilles?
Kind of like gummies or like a fucking, like, you know, wine gums?
Yeah.
Like wine gums.
Okay.
And they looked so beautiful as well. They had like this marble effect. Looks like very kind of expensive chocolates or something.
Wow.
And yeah, it was super beautiful. And all the packaging was like for biomaterials. So like an eggshell, ceramic, or using like cooked dirt or earth to create like a hard shell for all these things to come in.
Really? You can do that? Like clay?
Yeah. And I'll send you the article later. Maybe you can put it in the video. Some of these pictures, but they're very beautiful. And I looked further into the studio Layer.
Yeah.
And they had this... they had a project with Panasonic, I think. And they made these concepts of wellness products for the future.
Okay.
And one was like a smoothie blender, but that you touch and it reads the chemicals in your skin and like your sweat, and then creates a smoothie to benefit you in your... state, right. Your current state.
They're like, you're greasy.
You greasy boy.
Wow.
And another company as well that was doing stuff with psychedelics called New Territory.
Yeah.
And they made an inhaler with psilocybin for like breath work and meditation.
Whoa.
So
like inhaling psilocybin.
Yeah.
Wow. So I didn't even know that was possible.
Yeah. So a lot of this is going towards the wellness market and the spirituality side of things, and really labeled as kind of high class.
But also products. Like productivity, right?
Yeah,
like what some Silicon Valley
creativity and
yeah,
open-mindedness and stuff.
Because I hear it's, I mean, you say that wellness and spirituality, but I know the microdosing stuff is like really making its way into the corporate world as well.
I'd say so.
Like, definitely. You know, anything to increase kind of productivity or just...
Any way to hack your brain and get ahead of the competition.
Yeah, exactly. Hack your brain, like stuff like that, exactly.
There's a lot of that.
Damn, it's cool.
And then I went to Wired magazine, looked for an article there.
Yeah.
And I found one called The Hibernator's Guide to the Galaxy.
Okay.
Which was all about how scientists are looking at how to... like, because hibernation is found in nature, but how can we make humans hibernate? So that when we go to Mars, which takes about 3 years, instead of bringing like 11 tons of food, which is what it would take for like a 4-cabin crew, how could we genetically engineer humans to hibernate for that time?
Wow. It was really interesting. And like not age? Or that's not part of it?
It is part of it. Not for the space travel specifically, but hibernating could increase your life by, they said, like 30 years or something.
Right.
And it was a super interesting article.
What if you just slip into a coma, though? Because it's kind of like a controlled coma, right?
In the beginning of their research, it was.
Okay.
Because, let me see here.
Dude, I wouldn't want to be part of, like, the trial group for something like that.
No, it's really sad.
Yeah.
They were talking about some of their experiments on animals and things.
Yeah, yeah.
And how they paid, like, I think workers from Colombia or something to sustain extreme cold, and then they kind of attached electronics to their head to, like, read their brain waves and all this stuff. Really sad. And it turns out that guy, what was his name? Raymond J. Hook.
Yeah.
He died, like, 20 years after that in a tragic death. And when I read that later in the article, I was like, well, there's your karma, man.
Wow.
There's a lot of animal testing for all of these things, and it really made me question whether it's even worth it.
But aren't there, why animal testing? Like, aren't there animals that hibernate anyway? Like, couldn't you just observe a bear?
Well, funny you say that. That guy, Raymond J. Hawk,
yeah,
he was a zoologist, and
okay,
I think he was a little bit crazy, because
to be a zoologist, yeah, I think you have to be.
He started out with bats, and he was like looking at how bats hibernate and how their metabolism slows. And then during the Cold War in the 50s, the U.S. was trying to get ahead of Russia with everything. So the U.S. Army started researching into how their soldiers could sustain extreme cold. So they brought this guy in, Mr. Hawk. And when he was at the base, he became fascinated by bears and how they hibernate. And so he would go into caves when they were hibernating and inject a thermometer into their rectum, and just to gauge their internal temperature,
right.
Which is fucking,
but they got
nuts,
fur.
Man. No, that's nuts. You go into a bear cave when it's sleeping, put a thermometer in its rectum. What the fuck are you thinking?
Dude, what if Over the Hedge just started like that? Like, instead of him trying to steal the bear's food, he just goes in there with the thermometer, like, real slowly.
He's like, yeah, man, I'm really
He's
really
like, I want to learn from
that.
You.
Yeah. Teach me all you know. Yeah, it was very interesting. And it really centered around this woman, Kelly Drew.
Yeah.
Who, let's see what she did. She was a neuropharmacologist and was in Alaska doing research about the salmon's brains.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was interrupted one day. This guy walked in.
Yeah.
With like a little dead rodent in his hand.
Okay.
She picked it up and she was like, why are you giving me this? And he explained that it was hibernating.
And oh.
In this state, its body temperature dropped to -2 degrees
what?
Celsius.
Whoa.
Below freezing. And its heart would beat once per minute.
Wow. That's crazy.
And its brain waves were like barely detectable.
Rodents can do that.
It was an Arctic squirrel.
Oh.
Or an Arctic, yeah.
Wow.
Alaskan squirrel or something.
Wow. That's so cool.
Yeah, and she became fascinated at that stage.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she started researching these things. And then
she's like, forget about the salmon.
The salmon's a done deal, man. I'm eating it later anyway.
Yeah.
But she researched, and then like 20 years later, after all this research, she came into contact with this other guy from a company called Spaceworks, who was working with NASA about the hibernation.
Right.
And she entered this whole new industry with all these things she had learned naturally.
Yeah.
And is now trying to apply it to humans.
Wow. That seems like a better approach.
Yeah, it was a great article.
Wow.
And it was explaining other projects going on where they're looking for like the common ancestor that could hibernate, because
right.
bears are also mammals and they reproduce in a similar way to us. And so with Darwin's theory or whatever, there must be some common ancestor.
Who hibernates and
And they're exploring these Spanish caves with remnants of humans from like 430,000 years ago.
Wow.
Seeing like what can we learn from this to try.
Dude, did I mention by the way that I was in Kenya? I saw the first ever discovered human skull.
I think you did mention this.
Dude,
tell me more.
There's nothing more to tell. It just flashed in my mind when you said that. Damn, that's crazy. It reminds me of like de-aging. De-aging kind of research. I don't know why. But like freezing time and extending lifetimes and all of that.
We don't even have to, man. We're stuck in an infinite loop in this thing anyway.
Yeah, true.
When you die, where do you really go, man? Do you know where KRS-One?
No, what's that?
He's a rapper. And he's from like a while ago, like the 90s.
Okay.
And I was listening to one of his talks. He gives talks about the universe and about the fifth dimension and perception and consciousness. And he explained his story, like when he was 16, he had either autism or ADHD, and school did not suit him at all, so he dropped out. And he started going to the public library every day and just reading to just pass the time.
Yeah.
And he changed his name to KRS, which is Knowledge Reigns Supreme.
Mm-hmm. One.
Yeah. And
well,
he explained that once he started doing that, his whole reality shifted. Like, literally his whole world shifted when he chose a new name.
Mm-hmm.
The conversations he would have were different. The way people respond to him were different. He was, like, explaining the power of shifting your own reality in a subjective way, which then has objective outcomes. Effects. Yeah. It's very interesting.
Well,
Mr. KRS.
Oh, yeah. I have something else I wanted to talk about. Is I have this really bad foot fungus right now. I have this athlete's foot.
I got some recommendations for you, man.
Dude, I got the cream.
I got some powders.
Yeah, maybe I need powders, but I got the cream. And I hadn't talked... It was funny. I hadn't talked to my mom in like 2 weeks or something since I went to see her in Kenya and then came back. I hadn't really called her. And when I did call her was like when I was in the store. And I was like, do I get this cream for my foot or this one? And she didn't pick up, but then she called me back later and we ended up talking for like half an hour and like catching up, which was nice.
At and least.
I was like, the reason I called was because of this foot cream. And I was like, oh, maybe I just shouldn't have mentioned that. Should have just left that out.
But I really I'll recommend the powder.
Talcum powder?
Yeah, because you want to like...
You want to dry it out, right?
Dehydrate it.
Because the fungus thrives on moisture.
Precisely.
Yeah. Now, with the cream I have, at least, when I put it on, it gets rid of, like, the itch.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, like, I shouldn't touch it.
Mm.
But the thing is, it's this, it's just between these two toes, right? So it's the tiniest area. But it's always been there.
Okay.
Like, for as long as I can remember, it's been there. And it'll just flare up sometimes. And now is one of those times. I think just because of the dry, cold air. But it's been so bad, dude. And I was like, let me actually investigate. And it's so disgusting. There's, like... It's like a hole, and then there's like dead skin in one area, and there's like new skin trying to grow over top of it, and then there's like pus that's making its way out. And I just really wanted to share that with everyone.
Oh, you're so honest, man. I love it.
Open book right here.
Are there any ailments I can talk of? Nah, you know. I had a bit of a broken heart, but it's all okay now. It's all mending.
Dude,
now.
I purposely didn't ask you about it because we're men.
Nah, man.
No, because we did talk about it, and I was like, you know, if you're not bringing it up right now, maybe there's nothing to say about it right now. You know, maybe you want to think about different things.
That's definitely helped.
Yeah.
And so did the book about attention. Like, whatever I'm putting my attention on grows.
Yeah, very true. Like my foot fungus right now.
Yeah, stop thinking about it, man. It'll go away.
Just simulating it.
Have you ever heard of this guy Joe Dispenza?
I've heard of the name. I don't know.
He's a guy who kind of applied science to mysticism and to meditation and consciousness and things to kind of give it ground or give it some foundation and footing in our society.
Sure.
But he has this great book.
The spirit molecule.
The way, the answer. But he just talks about meditation and
he has this great book, Breathe, a scientific exploration into Eastern mysticism.
And he talks about when in meditation, to access that feeling that you get through that song that you were talking about.
Yeah.
To get there, you have to leave behind all of the emotions that are kind of low vibration or Yeah, just low vibration. Things like jealousy or guilt or shame or any of these things, or even like
lust.
Yeah, but even like
sloth,
frustration,
greed,
bereavement.
Bereavement and bereavement.
And I think, you know, with religion and all this,
yeah,
it was just a way for us to build a story to get to these points of a divine feeling with kind of confessions and seeking forgiveness from God and all these different things. We're kind of like a storyline towards, it's like a subjective way to an objective outcome again. Like, you believe in this story
traditions and practices and traditions.
Like, and, you know, in the East, they'll call it karma. But then here, they'll say, like, you know, however you live or whatever, God will treat you the same or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever they say.
Dude, I watched this morning, right? Because to me, that infinite stuff, right, as, like, the closest I can understand it is, like, potential. That's not really what I wanted to say, though. Just that I woke up early, anyway, and I told myself I wasn't going to talk about sleep this episode. But I'm not talking about sleep, just talking about my morning. It happened to be early. Let's not say how I got there.
You were around when it was early.
It was last night, and then I existed in the early morning.
Indeed.
There was an infinity to that, because I was alone. Definitely, like, you know... Dude, it's gonna ring like so many times.
It's part of what you're saying. Keep going. Make it dramatic.
Oh. It only rang once. Wait, is it doing 45 then? Oh, this is the half hour. Okay. Anyway. I had a lot of time. Right.
Mm.
What did I do with that time, you might ask, with that infinite expanse of possibility?
What did you do?
I finally sat down and watched the last ever episode of The Walking Dead. Dude, it was so emotional for me, man.
Wow.
It was emotional. Yeah, it was like an extra long episode, and they wrap up all the storylines, and then one character at the very end, like, shit is going down, it's chaos, right? There's zombies everywhere. These three people, a woman holding her baby, who has been in the show like forever, and two other like main characters that have been around forever. They're trying to escape from this horde, and they climb up a drainage pipe on the side of a building. The two men like make it in, and she's climbing up with the baby there. It's very tense, you know, and then she slips and she falls back down, and the zombies immediately like crowd around her. And it was this, that's the type of thing they've done before, right? Where when someone falls into that herd, they're done, right? Like, sometimes they show them being torn apart, or sometimes they don't even show that. They're just like, they're dead, you know? So the crowd gathers, the zombies gather around her. One of the men, who is also like the father of the child, already like turns away, like he doesn't want to see it because they're up in the window of the building.
Mm.
And then she, you know, she slashes her sword and she dissipates the zombie, you know, she gets rid of them, and she climbs onto this car, and then she jumps from the car to the building, and then she climbs into the window, and she's safe, right?
Amazing.
Anyway, all this to say, it turns out they did all that, right? Just to say that she did get bitten while she was down there. So that's this whole thing, you know, like, she's gonna turn, we all know, like, she's gonna have to enjoy her last moments, and then they're gonna have to stab her in the brain so she doesn't turn. But what I wanted to say, then her death scene, her like, you know, baby daddy comes up, because they're like not kind of together, kind of not together.
Yeah.
But he's a priest, and he's like the one, dude. It's not. I knew the. This it was so very funny. Emotional. Okay.
I believe
it. And he starts saying his priest stuff. Right. He's like, you know, you're gonna pass into the infinite realm of. You know, joyfulness and peace and the eternal resting place and whatever. And he's saying all this, quoting scripture, I guess, you know. And it was kind of very beautiful, you know. It was very touching. Dude, as much as I would, like, boosh on Christianity in real life, in the context of, like, the zombie show and this character dying, I was like, man, I'm happy the priest is there and that he's there beautiful. To, like, you know,
right.
Guide these people or something. And he's like half blind as well, which is very like, oh, he sees what we don't see. And then sometimes I remember in like when I'm like almost crying watching the show that like it's based on a comic book, which is funny, which someone was like, it would be cool to have like a half blind priest who has also like has an axe and kills the zombies while he like preaches to the other people or something, which is exactly his character arc. But yeah, no. And another thing about that final episode, right? It was very, very emotional. But they tied up a lot of loose ends, and especially these two characters, Rick Grimes, who's like the main character from he's the main point of view character from the very beginning of season one.
What's his son's name again?
Dude, he's dead.
Yeah, but what's his name?
I don't remember. Oh, that's the meme, right?
Yeah, it's so funny.
Fuck, what's his name? Like James
Richard
Rick. No, that's his name. He's like Rick.
He's like Carl.
Carl. That's what it is.
Carl
Grimes. Carl. No, but Carl's long dead anyway, and Rick has been gone for like two seasons.
And all comes back.
No, he doesn't. But all the other characters think he's dead, but we, the viewer, know he's still alive. He's just off somewhere. And then also Michonne, his
Michonne
girlfriend, she's also like off by herself, you know, not with the main cast. And then so for two seasons, right, you've been like, you know, Michonne and Rick are alive. But they're just like, no, here's all these other characters, like, talking about them as if they're dead. And, like, and it's like, where are Rick and Michonne, you know? In the back of every viewer's mind. And that it got to, like, the last couple of minutes of the last episode ever that I was like, okay, I get it. They're, like, gone, but they're not gone. But we're not going to see them anymore. And then one of the other characters, right, Daryl, he's one of the coolest characters though. But he rides off on his dirt bike, vroom, vroom, after all is said and done and there's a happy ending. He rides off into the sunset, right? And I'm like, damn, goodbye, Daryl, you know, like, okay. And it fades out. And I'm like, what a beautiful ending. And then it fades back in with Rick and Michonne, like, we remember and we never forget or something. And it starts doing like this cheesy, like flashing in and like all these kind of little like vignette screens of all the characters that have died. It's like, I might forget, but I'll never forget, you know, that kind of stuff. And so they show them not getting into the story again, not meeting up with other characters, but just like they're out there, you know, monologuing about the people they've lost. Then it truly fades out. And I was like, okay, wow. So they are still alive. Okay, that was a beautiful ending. And then it fades back in, and it's like, even though this was the end, it's only the beginning. Launching February 2023, the Daryl Dixon story.
No.
And it's like, oh shit, that's why he drove off on his dirt bike, because he's going to get his spinoff. And then also, Dead City, another spinoff coming. And Rick and Michonne, I'm not kidding you, Rick and Michonne, like AMC Plus, The Walking Dead, : Rick and Michonne. Dude, and I was like, wow, we're gonna get the Rick and Michonne story. And mind you, there's already the Walking Dead Oranges. Sorry, Oranges. Walking Dead Origins already exist as a separate show. Then there's also Walking Dead like episodes or characters or something that goes into like small stories within the universe. And then there's also Talking Dead.
Oh yeah, the show after the show.
Show after the show. But I thought it was so funny, man, because I was kind of like, don't get me wrong, I will watch Rick and Michonne.
You will.
Definitely.
Oh, you got to keep us updated about that.
I will, but I was ready for some sense of like, this, you know, it's completed, this is the finale.
I was really happy that it was completed. It felt really nice and done.
But then they're like, the story's over, but it has just begun.
Three new pathways.
AMC Plus presents Dead City, launching March 2022.
Subscribe to HBO Max.
Yeah. But it kind of worked, man. I was like, I might have to get AMC Plus now.
They got you, man.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
But anyway, you don't realize it, but it is a show I've been watching for like almost a decade now, you know?
Really?
Yeah. Like in the background. Go back to it. Leave again, come back to it. And I was actually really hyped for this second half of the final season. And now it's over.
I'm sorry, man.
Yeah,
I'm really sorry for your loss.
But I already got the first four episodes of Walking Dead Origins lined up, ready to go.
Amazing.
So I'll start watching that after we finish recording.
Amazing.
But yeah, that was my little Walking Dead segment. Like, they just couldn't let go, you know? And I was like, yeah, what else does AMC even produce? Like, Walking Dead is definitely their cash cow, right?
All right, we had Breaking Bad, but that stopped.
Right. Oh, true, yeah.
Something about TV shows, though. I can't really get into watching them. I don't know why.
It's called short attention span.
Interesting. Sometimes I feel like it's just going to take up too much of my time. But and I think in my mind I have YouTube as like a learning center.
Bite-sized content.
Yeah, I'm just learning about the world and many different things. But now I'm actually just chewing up my time.
Yeah.
And making it harder to just enjoy my own life.
And dude, when you do watch a show, it does give... It's like reading a book a bit, you know? It gives some kind of sense of continuity. There's a narrative you're following. There's episodes that some... Especially when they release weekly, right?
And but I think as well, for some reason, I don't enjoy fiction that much. Yeah. I don't allow myself to enjoy fiction.
Right.
Because even when we're watching...
Only the fiction of capitalism. The fiction of reality.
The facade.
The fiction of Tao Rosen.
It's all a shadow of the real source.
Coming March 2024.
March 7th. Get
Tao
ready.
Tao Rosen Origins. Where we accept reality or accept himself.
Wow, man, I have a feeling that's going to ring too true later on.
The Matrix, part 5. Or is it? Dude, the end. Question mark.
To be continued, dot,
or,
dot, dot.
Or will it be?
One time in primary school, we had to write a story.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't finish it, so I just wrote, to be continued, dot, dot, dot.
Ooh.
The teacher was not happy. She was like, Tao, we spoke about this. Start, middle, and end. And I was like, yeah, but the end was... really crazy and full of I'm pretty sure it was actually about zombies. It was like a cabin in the woods and the knock gets louder on the door.
Oh shit.
And I was like, to be continued. And I was like maybe 6 years old and I was so proud of that. I was like, I just built tension.
Yeah. You just built the whole world, dude.
Man.
That's sick.
But the teacher was not contento.
With your contento.
Conmigo. With my contento. No.
Dude, is there anything else you want to get into? Because I'm freezing cold.
That's a good question. I think all I'd like to say is that you're building your own reality, even if you're aware of it or not.
We create our own realities.
Seriously, we'll never experience true reality. Like, we've only got 5 senses, and we've only got our own experience of the world. We'll never actually see the whole of what's going on. But you will see slivers, and your interaction with the world is in like your world. So you can either change the world or just change yourself.
True.
And
you know,
everyone's doing a great job, man. We're all just figuring it out.
And my thing is, even if something ends, right, like a relationship or someone's life.
You're watching too much Walking Dead.
Or
man.
A career ambition, you can always just spin off, right? You can always just start that new show, new characters. New challenges.
Yeah, come up with a new name for yourself, like KRS-One. Knowledge reigns supreme.
Yep.
The world will abide.
And the Blueberry Boys will be here.
You're damn right. Every week on a Friday.
On a Friday? What is that? Did we talk about that?
That's what it was before, right?
Yeah.
Ah, but it won't be every week. It'll just be when we muster up the ability.
But it will be every week. And join us here every week on the Blueberry 10 YouTube channel. And subscribe to us on Spotify. Subscribe. Give us 5 stars and join us next week for episode 9.